And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It's 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it's 8 p.m. in Jerusalem. Today is July 13, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to cover the new deal that Greece cut with the EU, the European Union, and we're going to try to see what's going on with the Iran negotiation and the rest of the cahoots and the craziness in the world. And we're going to pray for all the troops that are out there fighting, especially to England, that sends our guys and our soldiers to fight ISIS. So we're going to pray for her, and we're going to pray for, you know, a good coalition of the willing and the goodness of the world, so we can come together and turn the page on this history. You know, it's not easy to have a life in the Middle East, especially when everything is changing. And I love America because she has a constitution, the constitution that is the basic building block of the nation. It's a, you know, any reform that you want to make cannot move or change the structure. And that's what's important in any entity. And we were talking about, you know, before about prototype yesterday, when we were talking about the prototypes of the farms that you go and you build the structure, and from there you can create a nation. And that's what America did. She built the structure, and the, you know, the world can come and go, but she is will be forever there because her structure is immense and still and it's subtle, you know. Nobody can move it. We can see, you know, and hear in negotiation in the Israeli government today, for example, they're talking about, you know, moving one section of, you know, the Interior Ministry of Building and Development into the Treasury, which doesn't make sense by all means, because I can't think about the Treasury putting their hands on, you know, construction. Especially think about the bank. Did the bank ever go and build something? No, I don't think so, and that's what we're having. We're having a really some shakeup in the structure. That's why America needs to come abroad and help Israel build her constitution. Because Israel is way overdue for that. You know, the Bill of Rights and all the rest of the goody is something that not every nation has, or the Magna Carta for that matter. And we need that, and God willing. Okay, so today we have some program in, you know, in change, because we were counting on some visitors. But I count on God to be here, as always, to give, you know, like we say, you know, there is a God, and it's not us. And every time something changes, that, oh, that's good, it means that God has a different plan for us. So let's start with some music, and we'll take it from there. All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is Impossible Truth. And, you know, we were talking about the world and what's going on. And for some reason, you know, everything seems to tune down a little, even those that people are thinking that it's a chaos. But when we work together, the world is listening. And everybody were listening to Greece call, you know, the call outreaching for help, and sure enough, Greece reached deal with creditors. and she avoided the euro exit. Not that I fancy that. That's not my deal. But I believe that you know, you have to be a strong nation to sustain it. And many people who love Greece just shook her up and told her, you know, you guys have to work on the few things. You have to nail corruption. You have to stop with that corruption, because they need to have transparency, and they have to stop, you know, thinking that you know, when you work for the government, you just get the, you know, the treasury at your disposal. For some reason, it's like they don't, it doesn't dawn to them that it's the money of the people. So they need to stop corruption, you know, no take, no deals cutting. It's enough, you know, it's so all over the Middle East. You can see it, you can feel it. And, you know, I don't want to put names of big, glamorous, incredible companies who come and put cash in the hands of those people and corrupt nation, and sometimes put them to their knees, because it's not helping. You know, okay, those are a greediness of the globalized economy. So that's why we all find ourselves in this situation, because of the greed. So if we just think about Greece, let's reform. If they are talking about they're going to receive 85 billion euro, you know, it's not in loan and support from the bank. They're going to return some to the bank, which the bank takes back. It's amazing how the banks work. I love the banks. They always win. Then you got some investment to for the economy. That would be incredible if they can pull it out. And I heard that Russia is gonna lay a hand. It's gonna be interesting. And they need to open the market. When they say open the market, I wasn't sure. But then I'm not far away from there, and I found out that, you know, manipulation of the local market by the strongest companies, it's a really, really a common denomination here. It's including in Israel. We having the phenomena of, you know, the ultimate holding of one company over cement. If they say that, you know, cement in Gaza is scarce, well, they built tunnel to it, Israel, so no, they don't need that. They need to clean up and get some, you know, a program to development, but it's not about cement. But in Israel, most of the cement is owned by one company, which is ludicrous. And I love when they say to everybody, what a great nation we have. We have the first democracy of the world. Yeah, but no free market. When they are talking about Greece, no free market, I want to talk about free market. They say, yes, you can do anything you want here, of course, if you come rich. You cannot come and build up from, like in America. In America, you go, you work hard, you open up, you open up a company, you go to the city, city hall, and all the offices that are regarded in and they help you. They will help you build a company, make it successful. And if you're a woman, you will have support. You gotta have also a loan. That's in the good old day, of course. But my God, it's basically the modus operandi in America. And in the rest of the world, I don't know, the Greece market, if they are open, it means that people can do you know, a lot of companies can be created. They can move in, move out. They can create a viable economy. The economy is stagnant because they choke it. They choke it when you don't give the people the you know, if you cut so much the access to any asset of the world in a nation, if you think about it clearly, and I don't think it sounds clearly, country of Greece is a small country that is capable to build up incredible tourism mechanism. And that method needs to be supported by programs. For some reason, they collapsed because somebody took the money away. It means that the corruption, if you get the corruptor, you know, the people who corrupt in the nation out of the game, you might have a play. And that is in every country. Right now in Israel, we're having a situation which I am appalled. I'm appalled by it, and I promise myself I'm not going to interfere for a few months because I just don't want to talk about it to them. I don't contact any of my official. For that matter, maybe I'm not worthy of the information. Just a common understanding of what I do for so many years. And news is something that I understand very well. I see they are taking something and they're rebuilding. As I said, we need a constitution in Israel. So having said that twice, let's go for some music and maybe a video that I sent or a soundbite that I sent about the situation. Let's see what we have. All right, we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is Impossible Truth. We are in between. That's what this time of the year is for the Jewish people, is between, you know, the breakdown of the walls of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple 3 weeks after. So in between, we are with the U.S. talking to Iran about the nuclear capacity, but the truth of the matter is, are we really want to have Iran capable to be nuclear anytime soon? Is it going to be something that we fancy? But it's not that. It's she continue empowering all the rest of the goons in the areas. If we're talking about Hezbollah, I heard today that Hezbollah is gaining so much power, probably getting the reinforcement from someplace. And if you keep your hands off Syria, where Iran sent all the troops through, all the troops, yeah, empowering troops and weapons through Syria, and then you go to Syria, you go to Lebanon. We know the routine. So anytime that we do a deal with somebody that they declare that they're going to have standoff with America constantly, I think that it's going to be really, really hard for us to rest if we don't come to grip with the reality. But, you know, the election of 2016 is rolling up, and many people are thinking who's going to be the next leader, who's going to lead the free world. And, of course, Donald Trump just pushed his way around in the place, and calling him a Republican is okay. But, I like powerful men. I think powerful men can do a good job. He can do a good job, but he needs to lose that cocky, I can do it all, because everybody who had a chance to live in the political life know for a fact that you can never underestimate what the job is doing to you, is doing to the rest of the world.
All right.
And to be the, and we do the president of, you know, to be the president of the U.S. takes a lot of responsibility. Let's go to get some voice bite, sound bites, and we'll take it from there.
After 16 days of non-stop negotiations on a possible nuclear deal with Iran, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry was hopeful that a solution could soon be reached. But he said difficult questions still had to be answered, including to what extent inspectors would have access to Iran's military sites, and how quickly economic and financial sanctions would be lifted. The West has long suspected Iran of using its nuclear research program for military purposes. That's an accusation Tehran vehemently denies. It insists it has the right to use nuclear power to generate electricity. The new deal stipulates that Iran frees its research program. In response, economic sanctions, which have crippled the country in recent decades, would be loosened. Even if a deal is reached in Vienna, there's no certainty it would be ratified. Israel says it will call on the U.S. to block the proposals. And U.S. President Barack Obama must win approval from Congress before any deal goes through. High-ranking Republicans in Washington are already saying they'll vote no. It would be the most significant improvement in relations between the West and Iran since the Islamic Revolution in 1979. That's something Obama will be keen to achieve as his term as U.S. president draws to a close.
All right. That was short, but it was significant because it means that any deal that are closed with Iran supposed to be signed and delivered by Congress. Of course, if they can be vetoed by the president. But the truth of the matter, any obstacle of Congress will send a clear message what's America stand like and wants. So I think that it's a good thing. I think that we underestimate the capacity of the alliance to take control of the situation, and for some reason, the weekend that they're playing a little. Not because they're weak, they're trying to be, you know, to accomplish. When you come to play and somebody wants to accomplish, you're giving the other side the upper end. And Iran felt very cocky about the whole deal. And that's why I returned to Donald Trump. You know, cocky is not the way to go in politics or in diplomacy. And I would love to help anyone, you know, to become the leader of the free world. And, you know, Donald Trump is not a bad guy, but he sends so much lashes about to everybody else, like nobody else exists, which is disrespectful. And we are in the part of, you know, section of the world that we do ask for respect for each other, because everybody is a messenger of the world, the messenger of the people, the messenger before God, you know, to do the right thing. So please don't undermine anybody. If you want a good advice, Mr. Trump, ease up. Just ease up. Because Jeb Bush has a lot to show for, and he come from a legacy of presidents. And to come and jump him like, you know, like it doesn't exist, it's ludicrous. And I'm sure you will get, you know, you're saying in that, but I would assume that it will be smarter to back off on this one. Anyway, at the end of the matter, you know, the Republican Party have its rules, and it will give the best player in the game, which they believe. And believe truly that it is can be capable to run America. And this round, I'm sure that the Republicans feel stronger about the capacity to take back the White House. You know, I remember the days where George W. Bush was in office, and, you know, the Democrat gave them a hard time. They gave him such a hard time that it was impossible to even talk about the president without they screaming in your ears that, you know, he cheated on the election. And I don't understand how he got, you know, he got the popular votes and he got the electoral votes. What was wrong with his election? So when he won again, they were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. And they blame all the war, you know, they forget 9/11. They blame all the war on George W. Bush. And if anybody remember the incredible task to lead the world when such a collapse happened on 9/11 was on his shoulder. And he took it like a great man he is, and he delivered. And he delivered for the world. He didn't just deliver for America, he for the freedom of the world. And sure enough, he took his troops and he sent them to elsewhere to stop, you know, the nucleus. Because if we think about Iraq, many people talk about Iraq like it was a mistakeable war. And surely I was one that didn't want to have a war. But once we've gone there and we found that it was the embryo of the terrorists, think about Saddam Hussein, who used to pay $25,000 to every soldier who go and his soldier and killed and terrorized other people. The family would get $25,000 because he was dead, you know, he made Shahid. So, and then every year under Saddam Hussein, 500,000 people will be disappearing from now. You know, they were gone, disappear, and nobody, you know, recollect that. And when you liberate so many people from such a dictatorship, you give the area something to whisper. And of course, they took the load, and they were the one to fill up the emptiness after he was gone. But the truth of the matter, the trouble that we have in the Middle East between them, you know, all those Shiite and Shiite and Kurds, and we have you know, also a different kind of Tiki. I can't even remember all of them. All of them, it's ancient story. Now, I don't see anybody trying to solve that story between them. And that's something we need to really discuss as far as what our global... Okay, are we going to go back and talk about the United Nations that have all of them inside, you know, that one building? And never, ever... I heard that they are talking about stopping fighting between them, the Shiites and the Sunnis. Why they are fighting, you know, it's an ancient story, of course, but why? So this fight will go on until somebody will decide, well, they blame it all on the Palestinian issue. Really? The Palestinian issue? Do you know that they found Nazis, Germany's weapon, you know, used by ISIS now these days? Nazi Germany, they still have weapons. For some reason, somebody has stashes. Where did this come from? I'm just saying, it's not easy to be from the outside, because you cannot fix it from inside. But you can definitely make sure that you guys or the rest of the world can see it. What I say it just with the heart and the feeling of, you know, one true messenger that I want to you to understand that we all are part of this nation. We are wonderful, wonderful. And we're going to talk to, you know, friends about it. Now, I'm so happy to have a guest, a surprise guest again on the show, and I would love to hear what we have to say. Hello, hello. Who is with us today?
Hi, Ollie. It's Ron. How are you?
Yeah, Ron. Hey, how are you? We have the doctor of literature, the guy that speaks different languages so adequately, and you cannot be in better company than with your own when you ask nature question. How is everything, Yaron? I'm so happy you come on my show. Thank you for calling in.
Everything is okay. I'm so happy we speak again. And thank you for all the compliments. It was so nice that I don't want to deny anything of this.
you're awesome. Listen, well, I was just talking about the fact that, you know, in the world is really not trying to solve the problem with the Sunni and the Shiite, you know, because all the rest of the world we're fighting, it's all blame the Palestinian-Israeli accord, but the Sunni and Shiite, nobody even touching it, and we have United Nations that has 185 members, that which 90% are Arab. So what do you have to say about that?
Can you concentrate your question? Because of the bad line, I didn't hear exactly what you were asking me.
Oh, okay. Let's try to think about the world as you see it today. What would you say that is important to, in order for us to come back to brotherhood of men, to be to free, you know, but to free people from all this fighting? I was thinking that we are not talking about the real deal, the problem with the Sunni and the Shiite.
You mean about the situation in Middle East?
Yes.
Would you like
yes,
us?
Yes, of course. Yes. Tell me. Well, you tell me. What do you think about the situation?
Well, it doesn't look very well, because you know, it's like if we have to decide about taking sides, it's like one who is asked to. Whether he wants to get a plague or to get a cholera, because all the involved sides now involved in this conflict in the Middle East, and we're speaking especially about Syria and Iraq, are very bad people. No bad guys are involved. The Shiites, which are mainly in Persia, in Iran, which is supporting the Shiites of Iraq. Of course, they have plans to govern in the remote or in the near future, the Middle East. The Sunnis, in their insurrection against the regime of Assad, are between so-called moderate, which are in minority, and very harsh extremists, like you know, names that I don't know how much they say to the normal man, like the Jihad and the Jabhat al-Nusra and others, and above all about of course Daesh, ISIS, which is a Sunni organization, but in such a extreme wing that looks even more dangerous and extreme and cruel and crazy even more than the Taliban in Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda of the late Mr. Osama bin Laden. So wherever you turn your sight, you see a very bad situation, even worse and worse. This is in very short words, and few sentences the situation today. And of course, the first to suffer are the minorities, the Yazidis and the Christians. And if you want, we shall go on in this direction during the next minutes. What do you think about that?
I would love that. Yes, definitely.
Okay, so the Yazidis, which became very famous because of the terrible tragedy that they suffer now, are mainly Kurdish-speaking people, but not Muslim. They hold the old Zoroastrian belief that before Islam was very common in their place, namely parts of Iraq, maybe even most of Persia, and even parts of what today is Pakistan. Kurdish is not Arabic and not similar to Arabic. It's a language that belongs to the so-called Indo-Iranian branch, which means it relates to Persian about as, let's say, Dutch to German. So they speak Kurdish, and they are embedded within the bigger Kurdistan, but not being Muslim make them very vulnerable to the very cruel and sadistic organization ISIS. And everybody read about what happened to them in on TV papers about women and little girls sold for slavery, and men, including boys, decapitated or simply shot down in a row in numbers of thousands. Other, which are Christians, are also very many in Iraq and in Syria. Some of them speak Arabic, like the majority in Iraq and in Syria. But many of them, hundreds of thousands, amazingly, at least to the most of the public, speak the so-called New Aramaic. Now, Aramaic is the Semitic language, sister of Hebrew and Arabic, that was spoken in the time of Jesus Christ, and also most of Jews spoke it in the Middle East, and it was very common in the old Middle East until the year about 632. This time, the Muslims came out from the Arabian Peninsula and started to conquer the Middle East, which they completed in very short 4 or 5 years, that's all. Since then, there was the decline of this language, and after about 1400 years of Islam, they were reduced only to very isolated and secluded places, mainly in high mountains. So this is why about 4 villages between Syria and Lebanon in the high mountain are speaking a special New Aramaic dialect. And many villages between Syria and Turkey are speaking New Aramaic. And also in northern Iraq and northwest of Persia are also speaking New Aramaic. Amazingly, most of them don't even understand one another, because during the millennium and a half since they were cut off from one another, their dialect changed so much that literally they became like foreign languages. So, of course, they all related to old Aramaic. But if you, for example, put one in front of another, an Aramaic speaker from Iraq to Aramaic speaker in Syria or even Turkey, also in Turkey there are Aramaic speakers, but to their luck, they are not in war zone. So they won't understand one another, and the amazing number of 230 new Aramaic dialects is counted. But they are also in very severe danger. Many of them were butchered, massacred under the attack of the ISIS in Syria and Iraq, and many of them, the luckiest, either fled to where they are protected in the autonomous zone of Kurdistan, or to Persia, or to Turkey, and many of them fled to Europe, Western Europe, where they are especially resettled in places like Germany and Scandinavia, and even in North America. Many of them, for example, got to Canada. But the sad part of the story is that within a few decades, their languages will disappear, because right now they all speak between one another. But you know that the children will understand it, and the grandchildren, which will be educated in German or Swedish or English, will forget completely the languages and they will disappear.
Wow.
So this is one of the sad, yes.
It's incredible because, you know, I didn't think even the Aramaic is still available. I thought that it's an old Jewish, you know, scholar. I knew that they're talking about it, you know, some of them around the Middle East. But to tell that it's alive and well and it's still kicking, that's a great thing. Now, the Kurds obviously need to preserve it, right? If I got it right.
Yes. Yes, in some zones they are protected and preserved, but you know, when, for example, it was published about half a year ago that insurgents, not ISIS, but other extremist organization, Islamic organization, fighting Assad, Bashar al-Assad in Syria. Maybe it was the Islamic Front or the Jihad, I don't remember, conquered a small town called Ma'alula, about 50-60 kilometers, which is about 40 miles north to Damascus. And this is a very special town because it's between the only places in Syria speaking new Aramaic, called Ma'alula Aramaic, and they were subjected to the atrocities of those insurgents, and they started, of course, the insurgents at the beginning started to be on the safe side, to burn down to their churches, and later on to try to Islamize them, and of course with losing their special Christianity, which is a special branch of the Eastern Church, it will mean the end of the language. So I tried, you know, to make phone calls to journalists and to some organizations and to ask them to start to roll a campaign, like you know, a PR campaign to save them and special culture and special language, but most of the answers were no. Either I'm not interested, or I am busy, or I cannot do something. Anything. I'm sorry. Because I wanted to push, you know, for a UN organization, UN. How shall I call it? A UN enterprise to form an international power to
NGO,
protect their
NGO.
Villages and small town. Yes, but
they probably
should
have listened to you. They probably should listen to you. You never know; it might happen because if you have the will and the structure. As I said, you need to have a structure for any kind of approach. It might happen. Anything that we need to preserve right now, we need to preserve all those people around. And if they belong to one language or another, it's their reality. We need to save lives at this point in time. Anyway, Yaron, I'm telling you, you are incredible with your knowledge, and I want to speak some more about this program. Maybe we will create some structure so we can launch it. And by all means, you know, I'll be happy to talk about it any time. Maybe get some interview with other people that deal with that. All right. I want to say thank you, and I want to something else.
That I want to thank you too, Oli. You are incredible. Your program is very interesting, and I wish you good luck and health.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
I need help today. I appreciate you around there coming helping me out today because I'm not in the best of my ability, and I appreciate it. God bless you. I love you, Yaron. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you again. I love you too.
Thank you. And I got get some music on, and we'll sign off with some of the news around the globe.
Disappoint you or let you down? Should I be feeling guilty or let the judges frown? 'Cause I saw the end before we'd begun. Yes, I saw you blind.
All right, that was lovely, but we cannot have it because a few minutes to go. Yes, I wasn't feeling so well today. I'm down with my whatever. And it was hard, and Yaron was grateful enough to come and join me. Now, I want you to pay attention. There is information security management form for a distance learning course in Netherlands. It's the category is IT Engineering Conference, and you can check it out at the IMF International Management Forum. It will take place on July 16 and 15 to 16. So it's in 2 days in Netherlands. And there is another show, Trace, that I want you to pay attention to. First of all, we're going to have in November, first of all, August 11, we're going to have the 29th annual Native American Fish and Wildfire, Wildlife 29th annual Native American Fish and Wildlife Society and Southern Region, and of course, conference is going to be in Nevada, August 11, 2015. Then we're going to have a November 11, a very great day, the most incredible day of, it's my birthday, so I don't remember other celebration of that. But it's an amazing day because it's remembering the troop too. In Colombia, Bogota, Colombia, there is a banking, finance, investment, and real estate property management conference. I wonder what they're gonna do there in Colombia. That's out of the blue. It's amazing. November 25, Port Security, you have a summit. You have it in Germany. Technology, boating, yachting, marine, port engineering, security, rescue, trade fair, world regional. Now, pay attention. It's going to be November 15th to the 25th, I guess. And something we all have to pay attention to that, the port is one of the most sensitive places that we all have to watch for when we're talking about the fight and terror. And I'm sure China needs some new boats. It's going to be incredible deals making there for everybody. So we cover information manager. That's there are more events, obviously, all over the globe. And the most important thing is to pay attention, check it out. You have so many things that will happen and happened, and it's listen, businesses is something that we need to go after. We need to go after and check it out and pay attention. You have, for example, the 8th International Symposium of Agriculture taking place right now in Athens, in Greece. So I wonder who's playing the game there, because if it's if you're talking about plant study, sea study, marine agriculture, it's something that is very important to watch, and I want you to pay attention to this, because the 8th Annual International Symposium on Agriculture, it's agriculture will determine what seeds we have for the future. And if we plant, we live in the life of plenty everywhere, thank God, we just have to remember that this engineering of the seeds may make those seeds not fertile. And it's very important. We should have asked Yaron about that. But they have a website, www.ater.gr/agriculture. Incredible. In Australia, they have the National Food Plan. Again, you know, you have everything about food. In July 29 in Puerto Rico, you got on the organization conference of challenges of chemistry for the professional educational and economical development. I love educational and economical in the same sentence. It's like and chemistry. You have chemistry, educational, and economic. Wow, that's in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, never, you know, didn't pass the screen and didn't hear about them long time. Then you have so much stuff going on. In the United Kingdom, you have the World Association of Advancement of Veterinary Congress in Liverpool, August 20th, 2015. You got annual Africa Food Security and Agriculture Exhibition. It's September 15 to 16 in Kenya, Nairobi. You got the World Congress of Bioengineering, World Congress. I know it's crazy, but we need to get our stuff and get going. It's September 15th to the 24th in China. You have the Low Carbon Earth Summit, Tech Action to Build a Clean World. But, oh, did you see the picture from China these days? China is actually suffocating itself. It's suffocating. The pollution there is so bad that they barely can breathe. I am so saddened to see those pictures, because what happened? Where? God. Anyway, I want to salute you. I want to tell you that I love you, and I want you to be there for good things and for the right thing. And I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful continuation of the week. You start Monday the week, so I bless you, and I want to tell you that, you know, you're never alone. There is always God, and please join your life, enjoy it, have fun, be part of it, and please, last one, before I forget, I don't want the Saudis to get mad at me. The District Cooling of Arabia in October 12th to 15th. It's in Riyadh, and those are together with regional government stakeholders, policy decision makers, and leaders of district cooling. You know, you live in one part of the world where it's cool, and you don't understand that cooling in the other side of the world is extremely important. So God bless you, Hal. Have a wonderful, wonderful life. And if you have, you know, any question, always call in. There is a God, and it's not us. That's our team, and we all work for Him and worship, you know, the God of the universe. And we bless you all to have happiness, health, and moral value to keep it going with the chin up routine. All right. God bless you all. I love you. Take care, and let's finish with some music.
You all look like you're having a ball. Because this evening is about kids and music, I just have to do this next song. It's just a requirement. You know, it's all about love. And to me, music and love are the same things, really, you know. So, and if our kids grow up with music in their lives, then there is no question that there will always, always be love, y'all. All right?